good afternoon. A little bit of flashback there with Mr. Sundberg.
Yeah.
Some in the room here might perceive that it's an upgrade with Mr. Arkley.
Yeah, you bet it is. I'd listen to Ryan far before me.
Yeah, you will.
Ryan and Brian, by the way.
Yeah, I know. This is kind of like Pooh Bear on steroids.
That's right.
So, you got the little bit of the fire activity going on.
Very exciting.
Up on the ranch. So
exciting
we'll talk,
times.
Talk yeah, a little bit about that, and I'm sure we got some other things also with the quote.
You bet.
All right, we'll do it when we come back.
Music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. 1790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rob Arkley and his hush puppies. But before we do our quote, sir.
The real winners in life are people who look at every situation with an expectation that they can make it work or make it better. Barbara Fletcher. Isn't that wonderful?
That's
Everything's
cool.
An opportunity.
Yeah. Like a chance to meet the California Department of Forestry.
They were wonderful.
Fire, pardon me.
Yeah, I have to tell you, I'd never seen firefighters up close, and I'd never really seen a fire all that up close. One, they're very, very scary. They move quickly. They can outrun a person. And secondly, those firefighters are brave. They are scrambling up the steepest ground, and they are just really national heroes the way they're dealing with this. It's what they're doing is magnificent.
So the kind of a quick little update, the Highway 96 fire happened to be on
our property.
Yeah, so any idea what happened? Where did it start? Taking care of it?
They threw a flare, and it got the fire started nicely. The wind was blowing, and they had a nice little forest fire before they knew it hit it. It was one of, I think, 8 that day in the area. So I don't think it was nature caused.
No, unless the flare tree happened to be dropping. Yeah,
you just don't see thunderstorms embedded with flares.
Yeah.
But it was, they were heroes. We were grateful. We were really blessed it didn't get worse.
Is it still active?
Well, my conclusion is they're active really through some pretty good rains because the roots burn and everything else. And there were flare-ups during the night you could watch, and it was pretty exciting.
Did it get to the orchard?
It did not. It wouldn't have been much to get. The bears gotten almost everything anyway.
Yeah. Would have had more of a barbecue than any kind of smoked wood.
Been great. I would have done a very happy dance over a bear.
Oh boy! Yeah, with all of the stuff that's going on in the area, the region, I guess, is probably more accurate. It's tough to really appreciate how much is really with fire. I was talking to an acquaintance in Oregon, and I don't know where Burns is.
Oh, Burns is eastern Oregon, not too far from Bend.
150,000 acres?
Well, that's prairie.
Yeah, and he said it was grass fire.
Yeah.
And you would just see, and it would just go. He said the beauty, though, it's not like trees, because it'll be back next year.
Right.
You know, as long as everybody's safe.
In fact, it may be back and better.
Yeah, so you got that situation. But somebody had pointed out the Megrim fire a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah.
that if you took that and dropped it into Humboldt County, Riodel to McKinleyville is all torched.
Are you kidding?
Isn't that interesting? We don't hear about it. We don't think about it. The scale of it, somewhere else.
That's just astonishing.
And drop it here, and there is no Humboldt County left.
Wow.
And these guys and gals were able to get out there. The thing that blows me away is the 100-degree weather, and they're out there with their full suits on in the fire and able to do the job.
And they must have endurance unlike, you know, any of us recognize.
Not 50-plus-year-old endurance.
Oh, they're younger. They're older than you think. Some of the ones we talked to were in their mid-40s. Now, I will admit they look like they had virtually no body fat.
Yeah, and little medallions that gave them ranking so they didn't have. Yeah.
But they're modern-day heroes, and the group that worked on our fire were from Smith River.
They brought them down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so it's a big business, and you just don't realize how much could have gone wrong.
It's interesting as we are having the discussions about the sales tax measure R or whatever it is in Humboldt County, that police are seen as the primary and that fire are down there along with some of the others. It would be interesting, without having major fire events, to see if people would be willing to step up and support fire by itself, not in conjunction with anything, but just fire.
Fire's getting very political as to who pays for what and things like that. And, you have a highway going through your property, which we do. Someone throws a flare, and bang, you've got a fire. Well, that's a difficult decision. Happily, we bordered the government land, too, so they needed to do it. But Sharon and I were just, we were really, A, scared, and B, once it worked out, grateful.
Isn't it surprising how the fire had never crossed you guys' minds, or most people's minds, until it's there?
Oh, really? I live in fear of fire.
Do you?
Oh, my gosh, yes. We're one of the people that, do you have a break around your house? Yes, each of our improvements, we have the fire break. Because fire's real, it happens.
Well, yeah.
But people don't.
Most people think fireplace, maybe a campfire, maybe a barbecue.
Well, we've got
than projecting it out.
We've got our 17 cords of Madrone safely put into our barn for the
year. Oh, good. That would be future fire.
Future fire.
It's 319.
Nearly half a century in the news business should count for something. I'm Dave Silverbrand, and that's how long I've been watching the world go by. Now it's time to put it in perspective. Join me each weekday for a look at local news and views and what they mean to you from my perspective. Dave's Take Two on KWSW three times each day during the 8, noon, and 5 o'clock hours. Or read them on our website, kwsw980.com.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rob Arkley. Rob, there are so many different things that are out there, I suppose, that can be kicked around, talked around. What sense do you have about the fall? Is this drought going to extend? What are your people saying? Is this drought going to, I'd like to say tip of the iceberg, but that's just too far of a reach. Well, with drought, is this just the beginning signs?
I think this water thing in California is a permanent problem. We probably have too many people, and until we get into desalination plants effectively and efficiently processing water, salt water, we're going to have a water problem in this state, in Las Vegas, Arizona. I don't see an easy fix to this. You're going to see farm prices go up. It's exceedingly inflationary. And the fish, I don't know who's going to win, the fish or the people. Right now, the Trinity, it's a balmy 75 when you swim in it, which you and I enjoy, but the fish don't like it worth a dang.
Right.
Yeah. And there's a lot of moss. It's an odd year. We had apples. It's not been a hot year, but we had apples ripe on July 4th.
Well, yeah, we got the tree out in front. As you know, it's turning.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute, this is like a month and a half early.
Well, that's what Cher said the other day. She got up and said, oh, my gosh. It turned to fall during the night, and she was right.
Yeah, and now you're getting the 100-degree temperatures over in the valley.
Oh, it's hot.
Yeah, it's
hot.
So it's interesting. One of the theories with the river being as it is, the Trinity notably, the eels and the Van Dusen also, and I suppose you throw the Mattole in, is the amount of illegal pulls of water coming out with the marijuana industry and the amount of, I guess it would be effluence, I don't know what you would call, of the nitrogen coming down
bloom,
in. So you're getting
blooms of...
Yeah, the nasty blooms on the eel. I mean, it's like you're swimming through Medusa hair. I mean, it's really gross looking at it. But it's also starting to impact some of the other grow areas also. Projecting out legalization.
Got to think that gets better.
Does it, though?
Well, I mean, the question is if marijuana is legalized, and boy, it's getting a lot of legs, you hear it from everybody now. Let's just assume it's legalized on the federal level in the next 2 to 3, 5 years. What happens? We've got legal pot. Do these local growers truly add, do they have a niche, a market niche, that is going to sustain itself? I mean, I know that they have done a great job of hybridizing pot. That I was listening on the radio, your radio, this morning with Bill Bennett, and it's 5 times more potent than it was, you know, 30 years ago. And so I don't know what the end game
is. Yeah, if the Humboldt County brand is like the boutique-y beers.
Perhaps,
you know, if
then
it's
they have to
it.
Scale back.
But okay, let's say it's not. Throw it down into the valley as a row crop. It still needs a ton of water or tons of water.
Does it? I don't know what it can't be any worse than rice.
True, but you're not getting 3 or 4 crops of rice a year.
I guess that's right. Yeah.
So we're right back into the water rights, and who gets
well,
what again?
You know, I talked to Estelle Fennell the other day about the water rights, and I said, geez, I'm nervous about losing my riparian rights and this surface water issue. She said, okay, if it's a navigable waterway, you can have riparian rights, and those are unimpacted. Surface water, it can be a well, it can be a creek, not navigable, and they're just registering the uses of it. And it's a big problem, and things that ought to be easy solutions aren't. We're living through the final days of basically bootlegging of marijuana, aren't we? I mean,
yeah, it seems like it's prohibition.
Yeah.
Or at least what I understand it to have been.
Yeah, we weren't there. I mean, you could ask the Kennedys and they would have a better idea of what it was like.
Well, not even, they've not been around that long either anymore. it's a revolution is coming up.
Yeah, a big transition. And it's the no different than the opportunity. I mean, you have businesses that probably started selling to marijuana growers. Think of the soil industries. And now they've grown and they're a regular big commercial thing. So they've taken it in a scalable thing. But whether the pot growers are ultimately the businesses that survive, I don't know. I kind of doubt it.
Boy, I would think it would be really challenging to go up against RJR and win.
Yeah.
But some of these beer folks have gone up against AB.
They have.
And they have won. So maybe there is that niche for a craft beer, craft
But doesn't it feel
marijuana.
Like prices have to come down?
Oh, I think there would be so much supply.
I think prices come down. And as prices come down, you're going to have to become more efficient. And even if you're a craft guy, it just feels like prices are going to come down, and whether it's worthwhile, I don't know.
Probably not for as many folks as there are now.
Got to think.
Yeah. Or at least they're not walking away from diesel generators.
No. Yeah. It's been a pretty extravagant business so far. Now, I don't think it's going to impact Humboldt County's economy as the way everyone else does, because
nor do I.
I contend that the vagrants, when there's less illegal marijuana being grown, there will be fewer vagrants. And so what we're spending on one side, we will be not receiving on the other. And so,
the trimmers and some of the support groups will go to wherever the job is.
Yeah, well, whether
it's not here, it'll be somewhere
else. They're probably not needed in the valley. You can use casual labor.
It's 3:30.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:34. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rob Arkley. So, Rob, you think water is going to be the lasting resource for our area?
Well, they already stole our water. I mean, our water rights are substantially gone. Well, don't overlook the Trinity and then the Klamath.
Right, and then you've got what Carroll and the troops are trying to hold on to that was going out to the pulp mill.
Yeah, and no, I think our water... The good thing about our water is I did talk to some of the people and see if there was a viable operation from Samoa to take water back across through an easement over to the Central Valley. And they don't feel like we have enough volume of water from the pulp mill or from, you know, that
dam. There's not enough in the pipe for them?
Correct, not enough to move the needle, and so it doesn't pencil a project, because I mean I wanted to just see if economically we could do something for our county, and because the water, you know, we've got this right to water use, and is it valuable? And the answer is it's valuable, but not,
we're just too far away from anybody.
It's just too damn
far.
That's too bad.
Yeah, so what do you, if it's not the water, and I don't know what the lumbering is going to look like in 10, 20 years. I don't know.
Well, we'll have more. Does.
More demand?
I think we'll have more demand and more wood.
Will we have more mills?
No. Maybe one or two more mills, but they'll be owned by the same people.
Okay. So that's not going to backfill in. What's going to backfill in for the economic vacuum that is here?
Actually,
now,
there's been a fair amount of progress behind the scenes on the rail. And so...
But can one industry do it?
You do the port, and yes, you can.
What time frame?
Well, I meet with them every couple of weeks and 3 weeks, and they've got a discretionary budget that everyone concedes is large enough to build the short line rail. So it really is a permitting, you know, they'll build it in a year.
But now these are the folks that are playing so nicely with you in the sandbox for the balloon track.
I think it's a whole different issue.
The state isn't involved?
There's a body of rights that are different.
Because it's a train?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And then besides there being a body of rights, there are... this country needs exports, and there's a lot of push for exports and imports, and a lot of infrastructure. This country is woefully short of infrastructure, and fixing Humboldt Bay is a logical infrastructure fix. We don't have enough port capacity on the West Coast. We need this port.
And others recognize that need.
Well, the people I'm dealing with sure do. They want to own a big chunk of their port, and they want to own a big, operate a short rail.
Is there enough land mass? I know we've talked in the past about scale. Is there enough scale for Humboldt County?
Plenty of land. Only need one real dock and port. You don't need the other ones. Maybe the other ones work, but they don't offer a lot. But ours does. It has far more land. And it and
that's the key, the land associated with it.
Yeah, and it's the only self-dredging dock, and so it's right there.
Self-dredging dock. I've not seen the shovels.
That's why it's self-dredging.
How does it?
The current.
Oh, you're just saying the natural whoosh going
natural
by.
Natural whoosh goes by, okay. Keeps it deep enough, whereas everyone else needs the dredging. And
I get it now.
Yeah. See. So it's one of those that we're in the middle of a couple of major financings that are taking some time. And once those are done, we're off to the races on that project and a couple other local ones.
How long does it take permitting? I know you guys have got your averages and your timelines, and
well,
sometimes
depends,
are hit and sometimes are not.
Depends where.
Well, let's say for this one. So you've got a little coastal commission, but not too much. And then you've got public access,
right?
In some areas, and you have private access in others, and
you know, you do have this administration. Like we're down the what do we export? Well, we're not going to export coal. I think that's kind of
pretty locked down. Yeah,
pretty locked down. But there are a lot of good things to export that brings that's viable, and it is so difficult to get efficient train traffic in and out of Oakland now that we really offer something that's needed. So
there's just that much congestion that's there, or
it's
old?
No, it's not as old as you think. It's just really congested.
So you got,
in other words,
open territory here.
That's why going south was never viable. You're putting trains exactly where they're not needed.
Yeah, more, just compounding a tough situation.
Yeah. Yeah, just what we need. More.
And north, talk about a rough land.
That's a tough pull. Yeah. But, I mean.
So the interest is continuing to be there.
Yeah. I don't think people like the Harbor District have any business being in the used pulp mill business with black liquor. I mean, Jack Kreider.
That's nasty stuff.
Oh, my gosh. And Jack's grossly over his head on that. And so it's a great private business opportunity with infrastructure. And this is going to be the next 40 years are going to be nothing about except infrastructure in the United States. It's the.
Kind of like the Eisenhower years?
Yes.
The build out? It's. Well, I guess it's been 60 years.
It's been 60 years. It's time. And a lot of new ideas. And
not the bullet train.
Oh, I don't think a bullet train to Humboldt County makes much sense, but maybe it does.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:40. We'll be back with more from Rob Arkley.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:44. We're back to Talk Shop, final couple minutes this afternoon with Rob Arkley. So, summertime, fire season, droughts, all this good stuff. What's getting you excited right now?
Oh, actually, I think the economy nationally is getting better. It amazes me, though, how technology, as quickly as businesses are able to implement technology, they don't hire people. And so we're going to have a structural unemployment for the foreseeable future just because technology is so powerful.
Yeah, I saw USA Today over the weekend had an article that said five states in the country were below 4% unemployment.
Let me guess. South Dakota. North Dakota, Iowa, Nebraska.
Nebraska.
Wisconsin, maybe? No. Probably
Wyoming.
Not. Wyoming, that's it.
And New Hampshire.
New Hampshire, okay.
That was, I think it was New Hampshire. Could have been Vermont. That was kind of the wild card out of the region.
Yeah.
And they were talking about some of the same things, is that it's a different scenario right now. And right after that was the convention in Chicago, SEI.
Oh, employee union?
It was McDonald's.
Service employee.
$15 for McDonald's. That's what they wanted, 15 bucks an hour. And I thought, how interesting the dichotomy, and I don't know if it was just happenstance or if it was by design, that those two stories were back-to-back and talking about such randomly different things.
Well, what's interesting, though, is they talk about a livable wage. And I think a livable wage ought to be defined as a wage that is above the poverty level. Is that right?
It's like sustainable harvest. Yeah. I've never put my hands around it. I don't know what it is. Because the normal definition doesn't apply.
Right. Well, presumably the poverty level is below what a sustainable wage is.
That would make sense.
And if you're at above the poverty level, that must be a sustainable wage. But if you get paid minimum wage now and you work full time, you're $5,000 above poverty. Yeah, you get it. This $15 is really kind of a red herring. It's tied to other union contracts.
Tied to Seattle, right?
It's tied to other union
contracts. Oh, really? It's not just...
No, the $15 is what a lot of other government people get paid minimum wage plus. And so it ripples through the economy differently than everybody says. No one gets paid minimum wage. They really don't.
So looking at this new definition of the workforce, what does that one work out into? How do you play that one in 5 or 10 years?
Well, I'll tell you what.
Or do we know?
I think they ought to call sociology majors, psychology majors, human communication. They ought to call those pre-government, change the definition, because the only jobs that are really going to be needed in great bulk are engineering, math, physics, the heart.
This doesn't bode well for one person on this side of the counter.
Well, I was an accounting major.
Give me a softie. How about business or sales?
Well, no, a salesman always has a job.
Okay.
But I don't get why these kids come out of school without any viable trade, and then they complain about their student debt, but they haven't trained themselves to get a job.
You know what I attribute it to?
What?
I know I shared this one with Ryan. T-ball.
What's T-ball?
You know what T-ball is.
Baseball, where they put it
you
up on
you put it on the tee, and the little kids hit it, and they run, and you can have 14 on one base, and everybody plays and has a good time. There's no keeping track of scores.
Oh, good solid state of chaos.
Yeah, everybody's having fun. Everybody wins. Nobody loses. Everybody has good effort.
Yeah, you're right.
And we build up people's esteems instead of talking about win-lose.
Yeah.
Yes, Sherry
always calls me the cold shower of reality. And
Oh, that's what she calls you.
She calls them the daddy talks.
Okay.
But you know what the number one polling item for kids under 30 is? It's not the environment. It's not sustainability. It's not higher wage. It's they want the government to forgive a bunch of their student debt.
Well, it's financially
okay.
Connected.
All right. You want to be that? Yeah, it's fine.
Well, that's not vague. Come on, give me a break.
Yeah, but what a bunch of
junk.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
Well, the thing that I kind of get torqued at, and I guess we don't have too much time, is educational institutions raising their tuition for no apparent reason.
Say, isn't that unconscionable?
Just jack it up because the guy across the street is.
Yeah, I agree.
What's that about?
Well, look at Harvard. I don't know how many billion dollars their endowment is. I suspect everyone could attend for free. And it's embarrassing. It's
bragging rights, I think, is what most of it is.
Yeah, I mean, but if there's an area where there's been inflation, it's education, and it's wrong.
Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thank you, bud.
Stay dry. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.